Our special guests this morning are conductor, the Boston Pops Orchestra, Keith Lockhart, and violinist, Robert McDuffie. They'll both be appearing this weekend with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra for two concerts, January 27th and 28th, at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Great to see you.
Good morning.
It's been 22 years and counting as head of the Boston Pops Orchestra. The guys must call you Pops by now.
It has been funny to see the tenure. You know, who knows where that time went. It's also been 22 years since I've been here in Honolulu with the orchestra, too.
Good to have you back. This isn't a job, exactly. You're having too much fun.
It is, I suppose. I don't know if that question is to me or to Robert, but I have to say yes. I mean, we're so fortunate to be able to do something that we truly love and occasionally get paid for it.
Now, the Boston Pops has always been willing to cross over into other genres. Duke Ellington, Peter Nero, Sarah Vaughan, Chet Atkins all appeared with the orchestra, and Fiedler even tried to get Elvis Presley. But what I want to know is how far are you willing to go?
I've been lucky enough to stand on the shoulders of giants in my 23 seasons at the Boston Pops, with Fiedler there for almost half a century. He's really the person who made the orchestra a national cultural institution. And my immediate predecessor, John Williams, perhaps the best known composer on the planet. And what I've tried to do is take the tradition that Fiedler set so well, this idea of what he used to say is, we only play one kind of music at the Boston Pops, the interesting kind. Of course, you know, as times change, our definition of what is popular music change, and I have tried to move our definition along with that. We've appeared with Aerosmith, and we've appeared with Zydeco bands, and we've appeared with contemporary singer-songwriters and some DJ composers and that sort of thing. But basically the idea, I think, anything that we can add to, and any music that brings honor to the Pops and that the Pops can bring honor to is the direction we would like to go.
What about classical Pops? When the Sabre Dance or Copland's Hoedown were new, they took off like gangbusters. But what do we have today?
That's, in terms of classical Pops, I would say, you know, of course, the Pops, that's still a central part of our diet, because what we like to think is the reason that our organization has been so prominent for 130 years is that we've always tried to remain the star of our own show and play great music at the core of it that was written for a great orchestra. In terms of where that tradition has gone in contemporary times, I think of composers like, for instance, Chris Brubeck, Dave Brubeck's son, who has written, for instance, a crossover concerto for us and Nadja Slerna Sonnenberg and the jazz violinist Regina Carter, the Celtic fiddler Eileen Ivers. That sort of music, to me, is the contemporary version of what was referred to 75 years ago as light classical music.
Now, this weekend's concert will feature music of two American icons. First, Aaron Copland. You'll be playing the suite from his opera, Tender Land.
Well, I think that is a beautiful piece of music. It's an opera that has a lot of great music in it, somewhat flawed, is why it's had a kind of a spotty performance history. But Copland took his music from the 1956 opera and made a beautiful suite of it, and I think it deserves a wider play. You mentioned before kind of Buckaroo Holiday. I mean, everybody knows the music from Rodeo. This is also from the core of Copland's populist period. And the opening music, the love scene, is incredibly lyrical and beautiful. A lot of people know The Promise of Living, the final movement. And the movement you played a little bit at the beginning and the bumper into this show, the party scene, is worthy of Buckaroo Holiday for Copland at his kind of, hoedown best.
Let's hear a little bit of that. It's a work which really should be in the repertoire, and I'm referring to the opera, but for those unfamiliar with the opera, this suite I think will be a special treat.
Thank you.
Well, that's a rather abrupt ending, but you'll hear the thing in its entirety at the concert this weekend at Blaisdell Concert Hall. That was the dance from Act Two of Tenderland, Tenderland Suite by Aaron Copland. Now, if there's an iconic figure in American music, it would have to be Aaron Copland, or second choice, I guess, would be Leonard Bernstein, whose 100th birthday we're celebrating this year.
Yes, and I'm old enough to have known him. It was a privilege to know him for the time that I did, and I think some people called him America's musical monarch, and I think that's apt.
We're speaking with violinist Robert McDuffie, who'll be performing Bernstein's Serenade After Plato's Symposium for this weekend's concert. Now, Bernstein's reputation as an educator or proselytizer for classical music is indisputable. He was the first conductor to really make an impact on television.
He was. He spoke so beautifully and elegantly about music, and in a way that adults and kids could appreciate and love. And I certainly remember those early televised performances with the New York Philharmonic and the Young People's Concerts. But of course, it morphed into the Norton Lectures at Boston, and if you were just in a room with him, and if he had a little scotch, it would be even more interesting.
Now, he was a charismatic figure, no question about that. But in terms of his own music, what impact do you think he's had?
That's a really good question. I think the period in the early 50s, when he wrote West Side Story and Bernstein and Serenade, was his probably his most fertile period. He had a lot of time to think and to write. He loved this piece, Serenade, and it's also a misnomer. It's really a concerto. It's a big concerto. It's about 32 minutes long. And it was his favorite classical music piece. He consistently said that. He was hurt that more soloists didn't play it in his lifetime. It was kind of a concert masterpiece. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he was a little disappointed that that would be the that would be the matchup when he would come and guest conduct, that that concert masters would be playing Serenade. And it wasn't until after he died that soloists started picking it up, and it has become a real staple in the violin repertoire now.
What kind of demands does he make on the violinist?
Well, he didn't know how to write for violin, so it's awkward and weird and hard.
Written like a true pianist.
Right. But it sings, and it comes from the heart. There's one movement, the Agathon movement. It's as beautiful as Maria from West Side Story.
a portion of the Agathon movement from Bernstein's Serenade after Plato's Symposium, one of the great moments in the violin literature. You'll hear it performed by Robert McDuffie this weekend at the Blaisdell Concert Hall with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Keith Lockhart. Our guests this morning, they'll be there for two concerts, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, 4 p.m., and it won't be an entirely American concert. Beethoven's Symphony No. 8 will also be on the program. Our special guests, conductor Keith Lockhart of the Boston Pops and violinist Robert McDuffie. It's been a special pleasure having you here this morning.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.